Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We're taking on a controversial subject today. We're talking about the controversy over the placement of Project Neptune at the Belasco Library, Erie County Public Library. And with us here to talk about their perspectives are from Keep Our Library Public, Krista Perry and Anna McCartney. Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. Let's start with origin stories. We're a family show. Let's start with you, Krista. How did you come up here? Are you a transplant into Erie, or did you grow up here?
I grew up here right in Erie, PA. I've lived here for 53 years, which I'm very proud to say.
All right.
Grew up right here in the West Bayfront neighborhood, and Erie is my hometown. I'm raising my son here.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Strong Vincent High School.
Fantastic.
1988 graduate.
Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. How about you, Anna?
Well, I'm a transplant.
Okay.
Actually came from Italy when I was a young child, 4 and a half. We lived in Pittsburgh. I became a teacher. That's my background.
Yeah.
Science education.
Okay, sure.
We moved to Erie back in 1984.
What brought you up here?
Northeast. Well,
yeah.
My husband got a job in Erie, and
gotcha.
So that we moved up here. And since then, I've worked many different jobs, including doing substitute teaching, but I also worked at the Erie Times News as the newspaper in education coordinator.
You were? Okay.
Yes, I was.
That's
one
of my favorite parts of the paper. It's always just 1 degree of separation, but I was on the Reader's Advisory Board before I started this radio station.
Okay, cool.
I worked with Pat Howard and Lisa Thompson.
And then I also worked for Pennsylvania Sea Grant.
Sure,
and I did bring along some of the, I used to do regular pages about the environment was one of the last things I did.
Fantastic.
And so I know a lot about research. I know a lot about education.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, so I think let's start with kind of an origin story with the library. And I'll start with you, Krista. Share your experience with the Belasco Library before any of this dust up here.
So my experience with the Belasco Library really is tied to my relationship with my son.
Okay.
Because he was born in 2005 and Belasco had already been there, and I'm always an avid user of the library because I love books. But once he was born, that was my opportunity to do for him what my parents did for me. They took me to the library when it was up on South Park Row.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a place where we were able to go learn education, and it was for free. These were like moments of time that we would be able to spend together that were very quality. He loves film. We used to go to the children's section where they would have all of the films. We got introduced to some of his favorite directors now that inspire him to this day, right there on the shelves at the Belasco Library. So it's near and dear to our hearts. It's where we grew up, where my son grew up, where I helped raise
developed
him.
A love of reading. reading.
A love of reading, yeah. And a love of history, connection, fellowship. Mm-hmm. All of those things are found at the library, for us anyway.
And the same story, your experience, sure, with Blasco before all this.
Well, yeah. Blasco, not so much, although with the jobs I had where I worked on literacy programs, we would bring kids over to, sure, the Blasco. But the reason I'm so passionate about this is when we came from Italy after the war, we did not have books, we did not have money. And so my grandfather would take us to the Carnegie Library in Pittsburgh. Mm. Every week we would walk. And so the libraries are near and dear to my heart because of the importance, the fact that they're free, and the fact that anybody can use them. So I really love libraries, and I don't want to see them to go by the wayside in any shape.
Let me jump to the current controversy, and I'll start with you, Anna. What about the announcement regarding Project Neptune kind of triggered you to kind of act and jump, sure, in on this?
Well, the thing that really triggered a lot of us, and I have to say, I did not know Krista, uh-huh, or any of the people that have, you know, decided that this is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was done in a backroom deal without involving the public, that is probably one of the worst things about this whole deal. And it was said that, oh yes, you know, this is going to be a wonderful program. And let me make it really clear, we are not against Project Neptune,
exactly,
or the research lab, not at all, because I'm all about science and research. So that's not where we're about. And we keep being accused of being about a lot of things that aren't, mm-hmm, true, and that's why we're hoping to make that clear today. But can I just start out with, yeah, one thing? Because I thought this really, I listened to your show.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I happened to listen to the one with Bretton Davis, mm-hmm, on January 9th, 2024.
Okay.
And he said, quote, "You got the four old ladies that stand out here at the corner and protest every day. You know, it's cold outside. The reality is, like we have said before, they're consistently fed this false information, and then they write these ridiculous narratives that go and the Times News blindly prints them while denying printing mine. It's not fair and balanced news, which is why I appreciate shows like this, because I can get up here and speak the truth to power." Okay, so first of all, and he reiterated similar things on Lisa Adams, The Insider,
right,
four, five, or six people who want to stand and hold signs, obstructionists. Well, he's trying to diminish us by implying that we're old and useless and we need to get out of the way. Well, why has he been allowed to attack his opponents instead of answering our questions, because we have a lot of questions? And so why has he been allowed, without being challenged by you or by Lisa Adams, as to, like, wait a minute, let's stop a minute. These people are not bad people. And why are you attacking them? So,
if I could also speak to, yeah, that point, because if we're going to call them old people, well, I thank God for the old people. These are retired professionals, scientists, teachers, educators. They have retired and have been using their hard-earned retirement time that they have to make taxpayers aware of what's going on in their county and bringing this to our attention. I was brought to attention to this based on the petition that was being circulated by Anna. And so then I started to receive the emails, and I started to cue into the news. That's how I started to figure it out. And then I wanted to go to county council meetings and see what was going on. That's how I met all of these people. And it's not just four to five people anymore. We are growing into a battalion of people who are committed to protecting Erie's greatest public access, your taxpayer-funded Erie Blasco Library, the only branch in the city of Erie that serves city residents.
Okay, let's kind of lean in on this a little bit here, because again, you reiterated, and I've seen it on all the reporting, that your group's objections are not against the project, just not at the library.
Correct.
So I'd love for you to be very specific on why you don't want it at Blasco.
because a research lab does not belong in a library. A private Catholic institution does not belong in a public library. One, they don't pay taxes to begin with. And then we're expected to somehow subsidize their project, because if we look at the lease, the lease is unbelievable. They got it for rock bottom prices, not even market prices. And so in effect, it's basically like we're subsidizing Gannon. Because if they were really charged the amount of money that someone would pay for that kind of space on the Bayfront, what do you think it would be?
Well, I saw that they're paying seven, and the question is, why aren't they paying at least $15 or $20 a foot, kind
yeah.
of thing, right?
Yeah. So we're subsidizing yeah. them, because if they had to pay what they should be paying for a spot, and they had a spot at the Union Fish Company,
right.
and they were paying more there. And that lease, we've looked at all the leases,
right,
we've
yeah.
done a lot of research, but that lease even raised their rent every year based on the fact that prices go up. This lease that Brenton Davis and Gannon cooked up, 25 years, the rent never goes up. In 25 years, where do you get a deal like that? So that's kind of suspect in the first place. The taxpayers are being screwed, because we're basically subsidizing Gannon in that location. If they had to pay what it was really worth, we're probably giving them back over $1 million over 25 years if you just look at the $22 price per square foot.
Did you want to weigh in, Krista?
Well, one of the concerns that I have is the area that's going to be used for this research lab is an area that is not unused. In fact, that was designated. There was a computer lab that was in that area that was designated and put there because the public asked for it. There was a library expansion project that was done in 2016, 2017 with public input, with meetings, and patrons said they wanted access, better access to the computer labs for whatever reason, whatever their personal reasons are for using the library, which is why that computer lab was brought downstairs. So for me personally, access is a tentpole, is the foundation of what a public library is. And to watch that access be interrupted, for that access to be taken away from patrons that use the library on a regular basis, is deeply concerning to me.
Ladies, I want to kind of just understand where this is at here, because I just watched a video from a recent event on your Facebook page about people in your group describing how they used the library in the past, much like how you folks have mentioned. But meanwhile, the former library director had stated that even with the lease of the space to Gannon, no functionality would be impacted. Was she wrong in your opinion?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not just opinion. She was wrong in the fact that if you looked at the space that was, and actually it was on your website that I found the press release from the library mm-hmm. talking about the master plan and moving the computer lab downstairs. That was before COVID. But things that Sarah Ewing from Gannon has said, from what Brenton Davis has said, they make it sound like that the computer lab was moved downstairs because of COVID. Not true.
Not true.
And the fact that they were just moving it back up to its regular space. So people need to go look at the master plan, because that's not true what they're saying. And it's really sad that I don't know who decided that was the case, because it's not true and it's easily verifiable that it was part of the master plan to move that downstairs. And the other parts that they say are unused spaces are staff offices mm-hmm. that are being used. And then the other two rooms that are included in this, if you look at the drawing that they had, those were meeting rooms that the public requested to have so that they could go inside the room, they could meet with clients, they could meet with tutors, and then not interrupt the people who were outside, you know, at the library. So those are all used spaces. So for them to say that they weren't used, that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative has been that there'll be no impact on the function of the library.
So it's like a domino effect. It definitely impacts. So they went, first of all, in their brochure, it said that we will tell the public first what's going to happen. That hasn't happened. And so they moved that on January 24th without anybody's knowledge. They didn't let the patrons know. They didn't let the staff know. They didn't let the public know. And there was a sign on the door, I can send you pictures, that morning that the lab was moving upstairs. No notice whatsoever. And so that space now looks empty, so they can say it's unused, but that was very used space.
And I saw people, even since the computer lab moved, in those meeting rooms, using those meetings, set up and having meetings like they're supposed to.
And that was something that people asked for, is to have meeting rooms. And so...
So you're not willing to concede that there's no net benefit of the research center being in Blasco?
Definitely not, because that could be anywhere. That could be on their, in one of their buildings. It could be at the Tom Ridge Center. It could be at the Union Fish Company. And it's wonderful, and it can do those things. But the library is not meant for a research lab.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I would love for you to talk about the differences in the functionality of a library from when it was built in the 1990s and today, in your opinion. And again, it kind of goes to that, wouldn't an environmental research center fit in a current library's mission?
No, you know, if the library wanted to do environmental programs, because they might fit...
Because they're right on the water, right?
No, yeah. They would invite the organization, which I had done things like that at the library, and they've met and they've partnered with many, many different people. But the thing is, it's fluid. You bring in an exhibit and then they leave, and then you have room for new exhibits. It has room to change. And that's what's being taken away. You take that space and you give it to Gannon. Where's the opportunity for the library to bring in programs that are not research labs?
Exactly.
I mean, part of one of the complaints has been that your group is thinking of that the, you know, library is just a bunch of books.
It's not.
No, we do not think that at
all.
Okay,
so weigh in on that, Krista.
Okay, so the library is not just a bunch of books. It has programming. It has classes. In fact, I did some research back in February 2022 that was sparked by a newsletter that came out from our public library in preparation for Black History Month. And I ended up doing a series of Facebook posts every day of February contributing to Black History.
Amazing.
Right. And so it was very popular, and I got recognized for that. And what happened was then I was asked to teach GED classes and presented GED classes that were housed in the library. At the library. Okay. Also, I can recall, I want to say it was about circa 2015, 2016 that I was talking about. The entire library was turned into Harry Potter land. This is one of the great things I got to do with my son. It was one of our favorite things. It was a community-wide event. There were food trucks outside. There was crafts in there. Almost everything that you could do was free. And it was an amazing event. It was, and that was something that the entire library was used. So those kinds of events, they've had Comic-Con events where you dress up. So the whole library is engaged in those activities. It isn't just the children's section. It isn't just the heritage section. The whole library gets involved. So we want to be able to protect the library, to be able to be nimble enough to pivot to the future needs of any generation, to be able to capitalize on the things that are happening in the moment and what the people want to be able to involve themselves in. It's a great place for family engagement.
Yes, it's very family friendly. That was the other thing. It was accused of not being family friendly. And I find it really hard to believe that anybody would say that. But that was the county executive said it wasn't family friendly.
In what context?
I don't know. He said that on, I think it might have been on your show.
Okay.
Where he said it wasn't family friendly, and he alluded to that.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth.
That's
but
right.
You are embracing the idea that It is a flexible space that the books that we needed to stock in the 90s are not necessarily the volume of books that we need to stock in 2024.
Right. And it has changed so much. You have the Idea Lab, you have the different new programs that have been brought in. And so
but there was no controversy about putting up a podcast lab, right? I mean,
well, the thing is, that was done by the library, and the public had an opportunity to input what they wanted. We had no opportunity to say what we wanted in this, all of a sudden being dictated to, that Gannon is going to take space and do a research lab.
So the opinion of the former library director doesn't hold a lot of water with you guys?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because again, I mean, she was the steward of the library.
Right, but she wasn't here very long.
Right.
And she's gone. Why is she gone if she thought this program was so wonderful? It doesn't matter if she, I don't know why she thought what she did.
Yeah.
But I would think if you talk to most of the librarians, most of the people who work at the library, the past people who were in charge, even Michelle Ridge, that library is sacred to the people of Erie County.
Right.
It is an important part of our democracy. It's the only place that people can go where it's free. You don't have to have a special card to get in. And so that's the only place that's really public access left on the Bayfront, if you think about it. Who can afford some of the prices that now, with all the new things that are going in, a lot of people, families can't afford to go down to the Bayfront, but the library, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're there, they can do some great things in the library, which is what it's meant for.
Exactly.
I guess, what I'm hearing from Gannon, though, is they want to have that public interaction there.
Okay, let's be honest.
Like 30 seconds.
Okay,
so
sure.
A quick answer. Yeah.
The fact is, they don't need to be there. One, you don't need to be on the waterfront to do their program. There's other organizations that are doing environmental programs that are not on the waterfront. They can do all of those great things, but not in our library.
Exactly.
I guess we kind of have been asleep at the wheel about this situation down at the Blasco Library here, but we're hearing the opinions of Krista Perry and Anna McCartney. Their loose group is called Keep Our Library Public. And I just have a few more questions, ladies, and I want you to weigh in as best as you can.
Okay.
And just to kind of maybe share a little bit of my heart, Gannon has a decades-long reputation of being a good community partner. And, I'm a Gannon alum. Shani's a Gannon alum. I mean, we think extremely highly of the university. And so it occurred to me when this was rising up that why don't you give them the benefit of the doubt for this project?
I remember I actually wrote that quote down. The benefit of the doubt. I always had lots of respect for Gannon. I worked with them and a number of their professors in my past jobs. And what really angered me about this is that Gannon knew full well that this was being done behind closed doors. And they did not speak up and use their moral and ethical authority to say, shouldn't we involve the public first and see what they think before you just give this away? Yeah, it was a great deal, but it's a blow against democracy for sure. Why should we be left out of such an important decision? It's our public library.
A little pushback. I mean, this was a deal that was conducted by an elected official, the county executive.
Yes.
It was voted on by elected officials, the county council. Where is it a threat to democracy?
Okay. Well, let's see. You want us to go
sure.
to our let's go to the
Timeline.
The timeline that we have and the right to know from the emails that we got. First of all, it started between Brenton Davis and Keith Taylor on June 27th was when they started discussing this. And who knows why all of a sudden, because we really don't know what went on with the Union Fish Company. But looking at the emails, let me just read one to you. This one is from Keith Taylor to Brenton Davis about Gannon's existing lease for the old Union Fish Building with the Port Authority. Just found the lease in my files. This was for 1,820 square feet and use of the pavilion dock space and a slip for our boat. But I thought I would share. dependent upon how staffing and investment in construction, et cetera, will ultimately pay out. This is space in a new, nice, newer building, of course. This all would need to be worked through, but just for perspective. So he's, and Branton Davis responds, thanks, we'll get it done. And so you have a number of emails going between them. And then on August 2nd, the deal between President and Iwanenko and Branton Davis is sealed. August 2nd, 2023, 1:33 p.m., Davis to Karen Pierce and Dr. Sarah Ewing. Ladies, President Iwanenko and I have finished our meeting and want the two of you to coordinate and begin the planning process for the Water Research Center build-out. Please reach out if you need assistance.
Okay, just I'm getting some feedback from listeners that actually some kind of a cooperation agreement has been in the works since the Kathy Dahlkemper administration. Is there any truth to that?
No, and Kathy Dahlkemper wrote a wonderful piece, and if you read it, she definitely says, Gannon, yeah, you were offered a great deal, but doesn't mean that morally you should accept it because it
was... But there's been no talks
of
the library?
Okay. No.
So it still doesn't explain why council would vote 7-1
okay, so
on
wait.
This. Yeah.
So let's keep going.
Yeah, we can get there.
We got, and I'll leave these with you.
Well,
because
and we have limited time and have a few more questions,
but
maybe
anyhow,
one more synopsis there.
August 3rd, the discussion begins about involving county council, at least some members.
Uh-huh.
Doug Smith to Branton Davis, we should bring in some council members to brief them on the project so they aren't surprised. Ellen, Charlie, Jim, give Brian a separate meeting. Did they talk to council members? We have no documentation. But the actual rest of the council didn't know about it until there was a tour planned.
Okay.
And even then, let me just read you this one. On Friday, September 15th, the county administration holds off from putting the resolution on the agenda as county council still either doesn't know or hasn't had much information about the intended lease. Email from Doug Smith saying to hold off from putting the Gannon lease on the council finance agenda for the September 21st meeting, saying we will hold off on the Gannon lease so we are able to do our council and employee communications before something appears in the agenda. And so that was on September 15th. So there was a lot of back and forth. On September 20th is when they finally send an email to all the council members.
Okay.
And then on, let me just read you this one, October 4th, because they still haven't had the lease ready. Doug Oathouse asks about the Gannon lease being included on the next County Council Finance Committee meeting on October 12th. And although it's not included in the publicly advertised agenda, Doug Smith says it is October 12th at 4, room 114. But anyhow, he says, myself or another will intro the item, then kick it to you for 5-minute description on how it will interact with Neptune, the community, and the future. Ask if there's any questions. Andre might make a speech, perhaps even object. You smile and say thanks because a solid majority is in favor. This is well before the meeting on October 17th when we found out about it. And we only found out about it a few days before. So that to me really stinks. And Gannon should be above that.
Yes.
They definitely should use their moral authority to say, you know, we really should have public meetings and involve the public advisory board. We should do an impact study. None of that was done. It was rushed through without our knowledge, and they continue to try to keep us silent. They continue to try to say we're giving misinformation. I don't think so. We have really researched this a lot.
Right. I mean, you know, some could say that kind of like what I was saying earlier, that they see the synergy of the research project.
But who is seeing the synergy?
Who
besides Gannon and Branton Davis?
Well, I'm thinking that that seven members of council see it.
Well, now if you look at council, well, you know what? That was pretty weird that they had the votes in the bag before they even told the rest of the council and the public. Isn't that pretty? That's a blow against democracy, to hide what you're doing and say, so when we went that mm-hmm. evening, and many, many people spoke passionately.
It got pretty passionate,
yeah.
didn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, nobody listened. None of the people listened except Terry Scatella and Andre Horton. He advised, let's table it and do some re-. The rest of them voted against it. So that's wrong. Why wouldn't you give the people, the taxpayers who own the library, a chance to weigh in? Why would you leave them out?
So from this frustration, mm-hmm. obviously demonstrations have happened.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to speak from my heart. I must say that some of the tactics of the members of your group have entered into are troubling me, especially
yes.
picketing at the cathedral. Do you think that your protest at Mass turned anyone to your thinking?
Oh, actually, we did get a lot of people. And we were not at Mass. We were outside.
Well, it was Baccalaureate.
It was outside before Mass. We did not bother anybody in Mass. And it sounds like when Bretton Davis says, what are they doing? They're, stepping on people's First Amendment rights to practice their religion. That's nonsense. We did not go inside and bother anybody.
Right.
We handed out an information if people wanted it, and if people didn't want it, that's fine. We are not a group that's going to attack people and say you can't go practice your religion. No,
exactly.
We were practicing our First Amendment right.
Because on one count, they're calling you just a handful of old ladies, but then you bring up this point that you're harassing people in front of, and that you might, you're using tactics that are form of harassment. So which is it? Are they just a bunch of, old people that, are harmless, or are they people who are out there attacking other
people? We're nice people.
You're nice people.
We are.
Wonderful people. As I've said about Anna, I now have a new friend who is a new friend who feels like an old friend.
But yeah.
Yeah,
we did not.
In my opinion, and I do a lot in marketing and whatever, it wasn't a really good look at all.
Well, you know what? One of the reasons we decided to do that, because we had been rallying, because we don't even like to call it protest, really. A number of us are just no.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been rallying, trying to give people information because it's not out there. And so because Gannon refused to listen or to even look at some of the questions that we have, and this is a bad deal. Rescind the lease, save face. We think you're better than that. We think Gannon is better than that. But they refused to even move and do anything. So we felt that the next place, why wouldn't it? The Gannon is owned by the Catholic Diocese of Erie, and where would you go that people who are part of the Catholic Diocese of Erie, so you could get the word out. I mean, that's all simply that it was.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't any anti-Christian,
anti-Catholic. Absolutely not.
Okay, just making sure.
No, a lot of the people
Saint Peter Cathedral
are Catholic.
Is my parish.
Okay.
A lot of the people are Catholic.
Exactly. I'm Catholic. That's what was my grown-up parish, as well as my mother is a Gannon alum.
I'm just relating what I'm hearing.
No, that's right. And we're hearing it, too.
We're hearing it, too, and that could nothing be farther from the truth.
Exactly.
All right. So I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked the county executive just a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
What do you say to those that say this movement is all about antipathy toward the current county executive, that this is personal against Bretton Davis?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. This is about the taxpayers. This is about the taxpayers' greatest asset, at least in my opinion, here in Erie, and making sure that their interests are protected and that future growth for the library cannot be impeded because there's a lease to a private organization that's going to be there for 25 years. We don't know what that looks like. There hasn't been public input. That's what this is about. Well, we are all taxpayers.
And the other thing too, the whole thing about politics is nonsense, because
absolutely.
We have Republicans, we have independents, we have Democrats, we have people who don't have a party. It really is not about politics. If he wants it to be about politics, that's his problem.
Exactly.
But we're not doing this to somehow get at him. We're doing it because we want to protect the library and have it remain public.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple as that.
One of my writers is asking, do you support Bretton Davis on anything that he has done in office?
Well, I don't know, but what does it have to do with the library?
Exactly. It doesn't have anything to do with the library.
Right? Okay, yes. So what does
this is about, this, for us, this is about the library. It is not about him. This is about our library,
and the fact that he decided to give it to Gannon, that's his part.
Yes.
But it's not like we're doing a personal vendetta against Bretton Davis.
Absolutely not.
All right, final question that I have, and then maybe you can bring up some of the questions that you have.
Yeah.
What would be the best outcome at the library, in your opinion?
Would be to rescind the lease and have Gannon find a different location for their wonderful project. We have nothing against it, but it does not belong in the public library. So they need to find another spot, and they need to play fair with the people who own the library and the people who contributed money. I mean, there were lots of donations given by many people. They definitely need to find their moral authority and use it.
And if there's a need in the library, if there is in fact space that could be used, I think that then there should be an opportunity, a countywide opportunity, for people to be able to pitch their ideas or their vision for the space. The needs in the county are many, and we would be able to then have the opportunity to access other people in the community that might be able to bring programming into the library that's going to even more specifically address the needs of taxpayers and patrons and citizens.
That's not permanent.
Exactly.
Unless the library wants it to be permanent, unless the people that own the library
ask for it.
It has to be a library program, and the research lab is not a library program.
It's the most public space that we have, the place that we have the most access to, without prejudice. You know, everybody is welcome there, no matter who you are. You don't even have to live in the city, and you're welcome in that library.
And actually,
well, it's a county.
Exactly. It's a county. It's a county function. Yes.
I'm still stumbling. I'm stumbling because when you say it's the people's library, and I'm thinking that the elected officials of the people made this decision in a democracy. That's what trips me up on this.
Okay, well, why does it trip you up, the fact that they left us out?
What do you mean left us out, though?
Because
you have
without they did not include us.
I'm in a county council district, right?
Part of the problem. A lot of people don't know because people.
But they represented me.
They did not do due diligence. Why would they ever approve of lease that protects the library in no way but gives
but
Gannon?
Could they have chosen Gannon to be a partner into a new generation of enhanced purpose, enhanced mission for this library.
Yeah, but
you know, that's what
Joel,
I mean.
Why?
I guess it's within my realm of what could be a possibility.
But it should be like all the other library projects that have come to fruition was put out there, even on your site, where people had the opportunity to go and say, we do want this, we don't want this, and impact statements were done. And they even went to the library board, who now is disregarded completely. They didn't find out about it until the end of September.
Was there not a public hearing that's when it all exploded? I mean,
the only time the public knew about it was right before the October 17th meeting.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, I read it to you. They already had their votes. So they didn't listen to anything anybody said. And they haven't, they continue to.
But you have to admit, pro forma, they did their duty.
They didn't listen to the people. They didn't listen to the people
because
they represent.
People came up and commented publicly saying that they didn't want to do this, or could we see this tabled so that we can investigate it further. In 2017, when they did the library expansion project before, Erie County Council held public meetings and approved funding and made created the Idea Lab, the podcast lab, based on public input and meetings with the public.
No,
that's
public
what we're
input.
Saying.
I've got like 2 minutes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Talk about the big questions that you all still have. You had mentioned that we have lots of questions.
Okay.
I mean, what would be the one that rises to the top, I guess?
Okay. I think there's actually a couple.
Sure.
Why should taxpayers be subsidizing the Gannon Research Lab? Why did they agree to a lease that offers no protection to the library or the taxpayers who fund the library? Because if you really need to read the lease. It's really an amazing piece. Why didn't they insist on public meetings? They could have had you say, hey, there's going to be a public meeting. It could have been in the newspaper. It could have been on the news channels. None of that happened.
Could have been held at the library.
Why didn't that happen?
Okay. I guess we're going to leave it there. I appreciate your candor. I hope that you felt like you were able to speak your voice.
Yes, I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Because after hearing Brenton Davis say he loves your show because he gets to say whatever he wants, I was like, whoa.
Well, and that's what I told your colleague, John. I'm like, I try to be an honest broker. Mm-hmm. I try to let people say their piece, you know? I can't say that you've convinced me because it's just because...
Well, you convince us why it should be.
Because
it's
think
canon?
Number one,
that's
because
not
it's
a good
canon.
Enough reason.
Well, and number two, like I use the library every day and I don't go in it because I use the e-databases and I read my online books. Like to me, the library in 2024 is nothing like when I used to bring my kids in 1994.
Okay, so here, 1 minute. January 26th, this is from The Guardian. Gen Z is rediscovering the public library and are using its hallowed institutions at a higher rate than older generations. And personally, they prefer print books, but also it's about inhabiting those romanticized aesthetics that Gen Z does,
one
like
quick
dark
thing.
Ethic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before we go.
Yes.
If we've convinced you, listeners, please go to change.org/wrong location and sign the petition. We have 5,000 of us who we have 1,000 hard copies and about almost 4,000
online.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the conversation.
Thank you.
Anna McCartney, Krista Perry.
Thank
keep
you.
Our library public.
You've been listening to the Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing Joel @TalkErie.com.